This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
See Live Off the Record with Trivago Lang is brought to you by Bahamas Air, City of Hope, Dunkin' Donuts, Nay's Pancake Place, Pinder Tao, Prince Masters, RF Bank and Trust, Royal Star Assurance, and Star General, Insurance Made Simple.
To dream the impossible dream, to fight the unbeatable foe, to bear with unbearable sorrow, to run where the brave dare not go, to ride the unrightable, and to love pure and chaste from afar, to try when your arms are too weary, to reach the unreachable star. This is not where to follow. To fight for the right without question or pause, to be willing to march, march into hell for that heavenly cause. And I know if I'll only be true to this glorious quest, that my heart will lie peaceful and calm when I'm laid to my rest. And the world will be better for this. And covered with scars, still strove with his last ounce of courage to reach the unreachable, the unreachable, the unreachable. Yeah.
Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. I trust you are doing well. If you want to give us a call on the show, the numbers are 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4316 from the Family Islands. You can call us on 242-300-5720. That's 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796, 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. Channel 969, or you can catch us on BTC Flow Channel 612. That's BTC Flow Channel 612. So I started us off with that song by Luther Vandross. At least that's the version of it that he sings, called "The Impossible Dream." The issue there being to dream the impossible dream and to pursue the impossible dream by reaching for the impossible dream. No, I'm not motivational talking today. I said that to talk to us about something today, and to try to have a sober discussion about it, where I certainly can't ask anybody to dismiss their feelings, because that's almost humanly impossible, but you certainly can. You can think beyond it. So I had the privilege and the responsibility, as did so many others, of serving in the government of the Bahamas. I served at the level of parliamentarian, so that is as a lawmaker, and then I serve as a member of the cabinet, which is the executive responsible for the general, not specific, general direction and general control of the government, right? Why general? Because a department is under the specific direction of a director. A ministry is under the specific direction of a permanent secretary. The police force under the specific direction, not general, but specific direction of the commissioner of police. And as you go down the line in an organization within the government, you have even more specific responsibilities and direction that people have. So an assistant commissioner, a superintendent might have responsibility for a specific, or someone within the ministry may have some particular responsibility for human resources, for finance, and so forth. But the government has the executive, the cabinet of the Bahamas. That is the purview of the cabinet of the Bahamas. The executive branch of government has responsibility for the general direction and control of the government. Where do I get that from? Well, that's what the Constitution says. So you don't like the authority that the executive has, you got to go change the Constitution and give them some different authority, because the Constitution is what gives authority. And what is authority? Authority is delegated power. It is not an absolute power. It is a delegated power. So you can't, if you give somebody power to do something, and who gives them power? Not you, the person, not you and your cousin, not you and your family members, not you and your church. All the population of the Bahamas, as as a people, not by some direct, deliberative process of giving, but by virtue of the structure of our governance, you, the people in whom is vested the total power of the country, the absolute power of the country is the people, but by way of constitutional democracy, you use the Constitution as the ultimate legal guide to the happenings in our country, the grant of rights and freedoms and liberties, and for the delegation of powers. And you give that power to the executive to be responsible for the general direction and control of the government. So when you see a party goes to election and gets elected so that its leader as prime minister forms the government, he is forming an entity that has responsibility for the general direction and control of the country by virtue of the Constitution, so delegated therein by the people of the Bahamas. Some power is delegated to the courts, a specific particular power of interpreting the laws of the Bahamas so that there arises a dispute as to the law. It is the authority, ultimate authority to determine, to decide, to interpret the law and say, herein is the case of the law. Not to make the law. No matter what the interpretation leads some to law, and there's an argument that could be made in some cases about that, but in any event, theirs is an interpretative responsibility. Their judgment on the matter, that's why they call judges, their judgment in respect of a dispute that arises as to what the law says or what the law means, that power is vested in them, delegated to them. Isn't that amazing? You can't even go to the law. So let me give you an example. If you have a dispute with the law, a law that was just passed by the Parliament of the Bahamas, it was just passed. And if you have a dispute over that law, you cannot even really go back to the people who made the law to settle that dispute. You cannot. You could go, but that ain't gonna settle it. If you want to actually get a definitive answer on it, you have to go to the courts. Now, the courts may look to what was deliberated in the parliament, etc., and make a determination. But in point of fact, that you did not delegate to the lawmaker the responsibility of adjudicating what he or she did in the parliament. And there's a reason for that, because there could be a conflict of interest, because I could have a conflict with you in as a lawmaker in terms of how you are interpreting who did to me. So you have this third party judiciary that has that responsibility delegated to them by the Constitution. And then there is, of course, so those are the three branches, the parliament making the laws. So all of these people who come to you and will come to you in 2026 or 2025, whenever election is called, they are running for one job. They are not running to be prime minister of your constituency. They are not running to be mayor of your constituency. They're not running to be chief counselor of your district. They are running to be, now listen to me, lawmakers of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. They are not running to be lawmakers of the Marco City, Southern Shores, Golden Isles, Baintown constituencies. Our laws do not run like that in particular. We're not making constituency laws. We are making national laws, but by using representatives from constituencies so that you get into the national law as you can get. Can I tell you that again? Because some people do not understand that. They do not understand that they are sending constituency representatives to do national legislative endeavors. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand.
All those loans I had were so overwhelming. Fidelity's debt consolidation loan combined all my loan payments into one easy payment with a built-in savings plan that pays me unbeatable interest. It's time to make that move to Fidelity. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Cancer Treatment Centers of our City of Hope, creating one of the leading cancer care and research networks from coast to coast, providing more of what you need. More locations means more care closer to home. More specialists means more expertise. More research means more breakthroughs. More advancements means more treatment options. And more options means more hope. Learn more at cancercenter.com.
Hey, Uncle Pat. Where you going?
I going by Mae's Pancake Place.
You're not going for pancakes 7 o'clock in the evening?
Yeah, that is close 8, but I ain't only getting pancake. Junior want a mango barbecue burger. Nadia want a honey garlic wings and fries. Justin want chicken and waffles. And Rami want that famous bachin rice.
Should I sell all that?
And more. In fact, Sunday gone, we had steam oxtail, crab and rice, and coleslaw with ice cream and snow cone for dessert.
I go on the Nays with you.
Well, let's go then.
I'm coming now.
Nays Pancake Place, serving breakfast all day, lunch and dinner too. Located behind Sunshine Laundromat, next to the fire station on Settlers Way. Call 351-5456 to place your order today. That's Nays Pancake Place. Pancake Place.
I'm coming now.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 all day.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. So you have all of this power delegated to these branches of government. And in them, you have invested this trust to do some things on your behalf. That's what it is. They do things on your behalf. Now, let me tell you, we get the impression. I mean, see and listen to operatives in the political arena, the people who the government, and this is not just now, even though it does apply to now, and I'm going to give you some specific examples, but it also applied in times past. When you listen to them, you get the impression, that they are doing their own work. They're not doing work on behalf of people. That's why I talked about the delegated power. Why do you delegate a power to people to do a work on your behalf? Now, saying that I'm doing something on your behalf and actually acting in that way is not the same thing. Not the same thing, right? So let me give you an example. How long has it been since we were told, as an example, that the pipe deal was, firstly, you were told that when the deal was finished, that you would be told. And then, of course, things happened around the pipe deal where monies were raised, motions that were happening with the organization, VPL and them. And yet you were not hearing that the deal was signed. Now you are being told, and you have been told this now 4 months. Listen to me, 4 months, that the deal is being finalized. Being finalized. And forgive me if I err, but how many of you are clear about whether BPL is operating on the basis of a pipe deal or not? How many of you are clear? If you're clear on it, text me and tell me. If you're unclear, tell me you're unclear. Because I can tell you I am unclear. I, who I think I try to keep up, I don't keep up with everything, so I don't, but I'm unclear. The last thing that I read was that the deal is nearly finished, nearly complete. Right? The deal is nearly complete. And I'm pointing to this for a reason, and I'll get there. The deal is nearly complete. But how many of you are... Is Pike operating in the Bahamas or not? Is the company that is supposed to be 40% owned by the government and 60% owned by Pike, for which local resources have been garnered for the execution of the maintenance of or the management of or of the distribution what the thing is again, it's something in distribution of the power company, is that finalized and is that operational? What is the circumstances? Are the employees and staff clear on what is going on there with the deal on, right? What is clear? But what we are told is that the deal is nearly done. This has been months now. This has been months now. And so I'm saying if you have as a government announce a deal, right? And you announce something is happening. So you're not doing something in secret, apparently. You announce a deal. If the people who are involved with the process go out and offer shares in or bonds in a enterprise associated with that deal, so they are out there and doing that. Maybe it was a private offering, but we know about it. Now it's been reported about. If all of that is in the public domain, and the people who are doing this are acting on your behalf, would not somebody say why the deal is being held up? Because they do not believe that a deal should be taken this long. something is amiss. If your negotiations are that hard over an extended period of time, something is happening. I'm not saying it's something corrupt or immoral, but something is amiss. Why is it not possible to be able to say to the public of the Bahamas, you know, I thought this would be done by, but it has not been done because we have this particular dilemma and we're resolving it, et cetera, because it is public business that is a subject to transparency and accountability. That's good governance. It instills trust in the government. Notice I didn't even say the politician, because I keep saying to you folks, at the end of the day, when Bahamian people become discouraged by, become discontent with politicians, and the ultimate problem is how they transfer that to a distrust and discouragement about the institution of government, and the institution of government survives every politician unless the country fails. This text says, I saw Pike workers at work on Farrington Road this morning. How is this possible without any agreement in place? The lack of transparency on this whole thing is stunning. So you see what I just said? That's a text. That's exactly what I'm saying. Okay? The political directorate operates on delegated power. The delegated purpose of the pursuit of the interest of the Bahamian people. But this is a mistake far too many people in government make. Far too many. And I'm going to tell you, this is the huge mistake. Let me tell you something. Oh, Father, help me, please. We're gonna take a break, and then when we come back, we're going to pay our respects to our wonderful sponsors. And then we come back, I'm going to tell you this big mistake too many in government make.
You try to rest, roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers, for window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Babe, you mashed the car?
I ain't mashed the car.
Insurance.
Is she out of insurance? She hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today, or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
Pender is carrying a new line of tile, the Sky Series of Porcelain. Comes in four colors, tones, and shades. There's Sky Noir, Sky Azure, Sky Glance, and this one, Sky Gris. Sky Gris, as you'd imagine, gives you a smoky kind of feel. It's not heavy and depressing, but gives the area a chill feeling. The Sky Series comes in two formats, 24 by 24 at 530 a square foot, 12 by 24 at 525 a square foot. I really like this series for big spaces, and being porcelain, they can take a lot of traffic. The Sky Series at Pinder Tile.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid. Take a stand, everybody, everybody. Come take my hand, we'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, send you know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316. From the Family Islands, 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hey, Mr. Lang, good afternoon. How you doing?
Hey, I'm right here, man. What's up? I'm not finished yet my story. So you know, go right ahead. But I'm finished my story.
That SpaceX thing that disintegrated, and they trying to find it off Andres. They can't find the last T. You know. I think that's
they can't find the last what?
No, they can't find the last T across. But, you know, I think what happens sometimes that in order to appease the public, things are not fully thought out. And, you know, and then they run into problems. And rather than coming and saying what is what, they just continue to try to cover up this and whatnot. Because, I mean, how soon is soon? How close is close? I mean, we're always close. But yet we're so far. How close is close,
But people operating though. But you just had a text to say they saw fake operators. So if you don't have a deal on what basis are they operating?
But
even if there's something else, can you not tell me that?
You know they have been operating. I mean they're probably operating in good faith. I don't know. We don't know. We can only assume that, you know, they are obviously they're getting paid. I don't think they, you know, that a company's going to come and use its resources without getting any kind of remuneration. So, I mean, sometimes money transactions are taking place somehow because the people got to eat, they got to live, they got to whatever it is. But it just said we don't know. We don't know what's going on. The same thing with the airport that they allegedly signed this contract with the UK company and so on and so forth. We don't know what's going on. Same thing with the hotel. In a couple of weeks, we're going to have a buyer. We're going to do this and whatnot. And I tell the government, like, you know, come on, what's going on? Because at the end of the day, you know, the people are your constituents. You have to come back to them and ask them for their support. So be honest with the people. Let the people know what is going on. We are adults. Mm-hmm. We're over 18. We've been voting for yes or whatever it is. We'll deal with it. We'll deal with you one way or the other.
But the people are not merely your constituents. The people are your boss. That's the reality. The people are your boss.
They don't realize that, you know. But they, you know,
you can imagine, but bear with me 1 minute. Can you imagine a staff going to their boss and saying, listen, I'm doing this, but I can't tell you what I did. You're doing it for the company? Yeah, but I can't tell you what I'm doing.
Wow.
You have to wait. I still negotiating. Wait. But why is it taking so long? No, you have to wait. I can tell you soon. Yeah. 4 months later, 5 months later, 8 months later.
Mm-hmm. You know, I know, like you said, we give these individual proxy to ARC on our behalf. We give them more or less the power of attorney to ARC on our behalf, but we still, you know, it's still us that you need to come and say, I am doing this and let us know. You know, yes, you have to be, we have delegated that authority to negotiate on our behalf, but still you need to speak with your clients and let your clients know what is happening at the same
time. Thank you, brother.
You know what I mean?
Thank you. Thank you, man. I appreciate your calling. So I'm going to tell you this before we go to break. What is the mistake that too many people in government make? This is the mistake. It's actually a mistake people in general make. So this is a mistake. They think that if I could just deliver this for you, doubt will cause you to forget how I delivered it to you. That's the mistake. The mistake is, don't worry about them. Don't worry about all this cussing and carrying on they're doing right now. Just get them a result. And once they get to the result, they will be okay and they won't be mad at you. Husbands make that mistake. Wives make that mistake. Parents make that mistake. Children make that mistake. They don't think that you have any regard for the process, that you are more concerned with the product. Child, you deliver this Gucci bag to me. Child, you give me this car. Child, you get me this job. Child, you get me this house. I okay. For some people, that is true. Now, that might even be true for the majority of people, right? It might even be true for the majority of people. And so at the end of the day, you deliver, you get your vote, you get to stay in power. You get your vote, you get to be in power. That might even be true. But the truth is, that's not good government. It's not. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Just getting you a result is not good governance. A result and maintaining trust in the way you execute is good government. Why? Because government will not always get a result. But if I am confident in the way they deliver and regard me in the process of their delivery, then they have a confidence and a trust that is transcendent. It transcends even results. Because it speaks to regard. If they are transparent, if they are accountable, while they are pursuing the results and while they are getting the results, then okay. But if they are not transparent and if they are not accountable, then I don't know if corruption is the undertone. So therefore, even with a result, I don't know what to do about you next time. I don't know how to feel about you next time, because good governance is about delivering results while maintaining trust. But a lot of politicians, they think, don't mind them, give them some mutton to chew. And while they're chewing, they'll be grinning and they'll forget how you were handled in the process. They don't, and actually, to be honest, can I be honest with y'all? Right? You mind me being honest? Be honest with you. The politicians' experience in many respects with the public is this. Being honest, like really straightforward about stuff, they feel like it's counterproductive to their political ambitions. Because to be honest is taken sometimes by you as lousiness, can't deliver. Even if they're being honest about a mistake they made, they think you'll think less of them. And so the extent to which politicians are unwilling to be accountable to you and to be transparent to you could be a function of their distrust of your capacity to assimilate their honesty and translate it into good governance. Now, if you are being honest with me about being lousy, if you are being honest with me about being corrupt, well, forgive me if my adjudication of you next time might be you need to go. But in any event, there should never be a time when you are dishonest with me. Me meaning the public. Ever a time when you are dark, clouded with me. Or hiding information from me. Now, When we come back from the break, I'm going to tell you something else that politicians in the Bahamas should remember. When we come back from the break. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Chavago, like your host. We'll be back after this break.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM.
Not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Chavago Lang, your host. We're so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I understand we have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're looking up to you.
Hey, who's there, brother Lang?
Hey, right here, man. What's up?
Look, yeah, I want to ask you something, right? I was listening to Howard Grant's show a little earlier, right, with Dr. Sars on it, right? Now, when someone get ratified as a candidate for a constituency, who all will know that? Who all will know that that person get ratified?
Who all know? You mean who all knows when a person is ratified?
Yes.
Well, Patty, I could speak more so for the Free National Movement and my experience in it. But the ratification itself is the General Council, the Central Council is a part of that ratification process, but it starts out with the constituency association, its executives and members, and then is carried to the party's candidates committee, and then ultimately to the Central Council. That's my recollection. And then an announcement is made to the public.
Okay.
Let me just say with the Free National Movement, like the process that I was involved with, when Mr. Ingram sought my candidacy for Marco City, I was introduced to and picked up by some executives of the Marco City branch, taken on a drive on which we talked about myself and stuff. And then ultimately, I'd write in a letter to them about the desire to be their candidate, which they themselves at the constituency level association had to ratify, and then send in a letter indicating that they wished for me to be their candidate.
Okay. I understand that right now. Let me ask you, if the news, if a news station, any news station, announced that a certain person is running in this constituency for a certain party, how would the news, when the news say that, would that be concrete or that just will be hearsay?
Well, if recent announcements mean anything, the news didn't say they are running, they are seeking the candidacy is what the news. Now, that's something, this, you know, that's tied to what I was going to say that politicians in the Bahamas need to be aware of, which is this. We live in a small country. And in small countries, whispers can sound like thunder. So what you whisper as an interest as something you'd like to do in a small circle could become a thunder in your country in a matter of minutes.
So I was listening to the Guardian News, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they were saying that Koma Lafay and this other lady, I forget what she names, Spence or something like that, one will be running in Carmichael Road on the F&M ticket.
That wasn't what I heard. I heard they are interested in seeking the nomination.
Huh?
I heard they were interested in seeking the nomination.
No, well, the news wasn't saying it was interesting. They were saying they are the ones who was nominated to run in Carmichael Road.
But the F&M has not ratified any candidates yet.
But that's what they understood, right? That's why I'm trying to figure out why the news will say something like that
That's interesting. It's a good question for the news people because I could be wrong, but I thought I heard seeking the. I thought seeking the.
I didn't hear you.
No, I'm saying I just heard that they were seeking the nomination, not that they got the nomination. I thought I heard they were seeking it.
That's what I heard, right? Because why I asked you this, I was trying to ask Dr. Sands, but I couldn't get on to Howard to give me some clearance because he was telling Howard did ask him concerning Dr. Menace. See, he got some information that Dr. Menace wouldn't be running and why the F&M wouldn't run him. So Dr. Sands told him, said he don't know nothing about that because nobody have been ratified as yet.
Exactly.
Right. See, so that's what I tried to figure out. If by the Guardian doing
Hold on. But let's not make a conversation out of something which basically so far you are the one who heard running. He's getting a text from somebody else who listens to the news who's saying they're hearing they were aspirants for. And that's what I heard.
Okay, well, I mean, I just was saying that's what I heard on the news.
Yeah, but me and you listen to this. If you listen to the Guardian news I listen to, I'm telling you, I ain't hear what you hear. I'm saying if you listen to the same Guardian news, I'm sorry, I did not hear what you heard.
Really?
I did not. I heard that they were seeking. That's what I heard.
I didn't hear that. I didn't hear the seeking, but I hear they were the candidates.
No, I'm. But let's see. Let's see. No problems. No worries. No worries. No worries. We that's easy to confirm. That's easy to confirm. Stay tuned. We'll confirm that. No problem.
Okay.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it. Yeah, man. See, you live in a small country, and in small countries, whispers can sound like thunder, right? And that's why if you are there negotiating something, you're the government and you're negotiating something, man, please. So let me tell you, right, honestly, outside of the fact that I do not wish to cause any issues, I really don't. I mean, and by that I mean, like, it's complicated for me. Outside of the fact, I know, well, I am reliably informed what has held up this negotiation. I live in the Bahamas. I'm a former cabinet minister. Talk. People talk, not because they're trying to be talkative, but you're talking, you're trying to understand, and people trust your judgment. And, you know, and you learn things. It's a small country. And all these politicians, well, some of the new ones, y'all might not know it as much yet. But these are the ones, no. You know, I'll never forget when I went in the cabinet. Something happened. And Tommy Turnquest told me, Tommy Turnquest said to me, he said, you know, Shivago, if you don't want to hear something that you said, told it back to you by someone else to whom you did not say it, and come back to you in a way that you even didn't say it, he said, don't say it at all. I never forgot it. Why? He said, these walls are theirs. And you live in a small country. And that's true. That's why, like, transparency and accountability in government in the Bahamas just makes practical sense. Practical sense. Because better for you to be forthright with the public than for them to find out through some back door what happened and why it happened. And then, as you know the process. You all know what happens, right? Somebody finds out in this day and age of tweeting, Facebooking, WhatsApping, Instagramming. Somebody tells somebody and boom, the next thing you know, the issue goes viral. And now you are playing catch up. So what had happened was, and it doesn't help. And again, this is what I say. It doesn't help, not because of the politics of it. It's not because of you. You keep thinking, politician, it's about you. It's about the institution of government and faith in it being lost so that a people start to become cynical, pessimistic, and look with dim eyes on your country. It says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. I thought it was broadcast as seeking, but rumors said running. Even heard that so far the FNM have named 14, like said, the rumors can roll like thunder, like you said. A party knows some of the people it certainly wants to run. Want the people they want to run. But our party knows that. So that people are out there canvassing or softly or hard with a sense of confidence that they are likely to be the candidates, new in politics. So a rumor that so-and-so is running, this one is running, that's not news. In terms of like that's out there. That's standard in politics. That's standard. You get near the election. Let me tell you something. There is very rare belief amongst some that the prime minister will call election this year. There's a very real belief. There are things that are being done and said that might even suggest that. I don't know that to be true, but I'm saying, right? So what is any party supposed to be doing right now? The chairman of the PLP, Mitchell, told on the radio that his party needed to be getting itself ready. So why wouldn't aspirants for political office, why wouldn't they be out there? And why wouldn't potential candidates a party wants not be sent out there to try to get a sense of things? So that's not news. In fact, here is a text telling me that the rumor is the FNM has this, that, and the next thing. When people stopping me every day, man, you know, they stopping me because I ran for the FNM. They know me as FNM. So they stop me and they say, Mr. Langman, you need to tell Mr. Pintard, he need to put his candidates out there. We need boots on the ground. So on the one hand, some people are saying, oh, rumors are out there. And on the other hand, there are people who are saying, we need people out there. Right? So that's not new at all. And I expect this to ramp up in you know, as you go along, because you're getting ready for an election. Right? The PLP will do so, the FNM will be doing so. Right? So you will have people out there canvassing, trying to get those votes. Right? But as I indicated, when you are in government, the smallness of your society says and suggests you need to be mindful that even if you don't tell people, they may find out anyhow. So let me pull this together for you. I believe Bahamians, in the main, there are lots of Bahamians who have no real interest in politics. My assessment of the younger generation, and I don't know that altogether this is new, but when I'm talking about young in their 20s and stuff, that they have a mild interest in politics. They don't have no intense interest in politics. In their 30s, mid-30s, coming toward 40s, they have some interest, even especially those who might be aspirants for some political office. In their 50s, 60s, and 70s, there's an intense. They are dreaming what many of them believe is an impossible dream. What is that impossible dream? They are dreaming that it is impossible to get a government of the Bahamas that can both deliver for them and maintain their trust. It's a dream they have, but they see it as an impossible dream. And they do not have the spirit of the songwriter in that they are prepared to march into hell for that heavenly cause, which is a government that is both a deliverer and a trusted deliverer. Because many, many of them will just back down and back away. That's my impression. I could be dead wrong, but my impression is most Bahamians will not fight for that impossible dream. They will do nothing more than talk in corners and shout a little bit, but what do I mean by more? What more can you do? I mean, like, if you're a government that can both deliver and be trusted, you will go and search for many will go and try and find and search for those people you believe can be a part of such, and you will offer them up to a party and say, please take them. Don't send me who you can send me. I'm giving you some offerings. And I'm prepared to get behind them, and I'll be there for them if they are part of your cause. But I don't believe most Bahamians are even there. All you can do is row. All you can do is fuss. All you can do is cuss. Where is the FNM or the PLP? If you were interested, truly interested, you would put your hands to the plow. You wouldn't look back. You would fight for the day when you get. Now, if assuming you don't already have, because listening to some of y'all, you seem to have to think you do and have had for a long time, a government that can both deliver and be trusted as they deliver for you. Right? So it's kind of like an impossible dream that you have. Frankly, I do not believe it to be impossible. I don't. I believe it's possible to get a government in the Bahamas that is both productive, and trustworthy. I believe it's possible. Now, you have to judge whether that's what you have now, or that's what you had before, or that's what you had the time before, or that's what you had the time before, and so forth and so forth. I'm not making that judgment today. I'm just saying that it is possible. There are Bahamians out there who, I believe, as a collective, can both be capable in governing and can be trusted in governing. And let me explain something to y'all. Those of you who like to run, well, if we didn't try the FNM, if we didn't try the PLP, and we need to try something new. Okay. Truth of the matter is, you have not tried every combination of FNM. You have not tried every combination of PLP. You have not tried any combination of, right? So you don't, so that an FNM used to be, that a PLP used to be, says nothing about what they are both can be going forward. What a COI is and what the COI might be says nothing about what they can be, right? Just like teams, so let me help some of you all a little bit, because to me, it's such a useless argument. It's a useless argument. Oh, we tried the FNM, we tried the PLP. As if the FNM and the PLP are institutions, right? They are incorporated entities who come to have persons assume positions in them, much like a Coca-Cola is not its CEO and the combination of people who work for it today. It is an entity who has positions and roles that get filled by people. The first leader of the Free National Movement was Cecil Wallace Whitfield, and all the combinations of people that worked with him to form the Free National Movement, none of them are in that party today. None of the people, I mean by in the party, I mean the machinery of the party today. Right? Then Mr. Ingram came and there was another team. And then, Ms. Dr. Minnis came, there was another team and so forth. Same thing with the PLP, Selinden on a team. And he didn't even for his tenure have the same team the whole time. And then Mr. Ingram had a team, and Mr. Minnis had a team, and so forth. So don't get mixed up with the institution and the teams that come to run them. They're not the same thing. maybe you sense that there's a culture that pervades them, and that could be true, some of that. But the team could be different. The team, a new team could be formed in any one of these parties and can bring a different something. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller, we're listening to you.
Hey, good afternoon. How you doing?
Hey, right here, man. What's up?
As a former politician, I have a question for you. Do parties have constitutions?
They do.
Okay. Do they have ideology that you have to follow through with?
Well, you could argue some do, yeah. So okay. They have some semblance of ideology,
right.
And they
so
could have some firm idea.
For them, or COI, whatever the party wants, that's what the leader got to go through, because they only change faces, but they won't change nothing else.
You're theorizing.
I'm asking you a question now.
Hold on, bro. Take it easy. Don't do that to me, man. Don't patronize me on my own show. Don't do that. No, listen to me. I'm not theorizing about parties. You didn't just ask a question. You stated, you said what the party wants the leader has to do. You stated that.
Yes.
Right?
That's why you put you as leader.
But that's a very simplistic view of things, because I can tell you, the FNM in many ways embraced the things Sir Cecil wanted to do, and Mr. Ingram wanted to do. The constitution of the party guides them in how they must do things. But don't tell me that when it came to governing the Bahamas, that it was the party that made Mr. Ingram act this way or Sir Lyndon act that way.
Let me say this. I'm not a big thing on politics. But what I've been seeing over the years in this country, and I'm over 50, whoever is the financiers of these politicians, parties, they can push. So whoever
the leader you didn't know. You didn't. No.
I'm telling you. I'm gonna correct
you. You didn't know. You no, bro. You did not see that.
I'll hang up and listen to you.
That's what you think. That's what you think. You think that when Mr. Ingram built schools in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, a financier told him to build them schools? When he paved roads in the Family Islands, some financier told him to do that? You really think that when he decided we should not have people standing on long lines on one day in March to get licenses, that some money person told him to do that for the Bahamian public? I'll stop talking nonsense. You didn't see that. That's what you think. So when you got some of you, when you come here to talk, make sure your language reflects a consideration of the accuracy of what you are trying to deliver and say. You think that when Sir Lyndon created national insurance, some money person told him to do it? When he created the College of the Bahamas, a money person told him to do that? Some financier told him to do that? And stop talking nonsense. Fuck. I am not going to permit the continuation of nonsense talk, at least on this show, by any of you, including myself. Not nonsense talk. Let's be sensible. Let's think. And to the extent that we can critique our own thinking, that's an easy thing to think about, Ron. It's almost an insult to the hard work of people like Sir Lyndon and Mr. Ingram and them to suggest simply that anything that they are doing, everything they're doing because some money people ask them to do, when they are doing things for poor people that money people would rather them not do. You think money people made them tax them? Money people made them tax themselves? That's what you think? Man, think. Call another show with that kind of non-thinking stuff, but not this one. It says, one of the problems of democratic governments is politics. Another problem is politicians. So Zhivago, opening song is appropriate to democratic governments. It is appropriate because it is built on distrust. The floor is based on a majority and a minority. On the one hand, not always right, and on the other hand, the minority should not be ignored. For the most part, governments do not and may never represent all the people. That is true. So the idea that the people are the boss is a farce. Yeah, in practical reality, it is. I agree with you. The only time the people are the boss is at the election polls. Case in point, the referendum on gambling. When the people voted against gambling, the powers that be called it an opinion poll and did the exact opposite. See, that's an intelligent contribution, right? I agree with you. I mean, you're right. It is a farce in so far as sometimes the pragmatic and practical live out of it is. I can't argue with you, bro. This text says this is a pessimist. Not only is he a pessimist, that person who called just now, he's just wrong, dead wrong. Forget pessimism. See, you can be pessimistic because you don't see things going right or what have you. So, but don't be wrong though. You know, it's different. It says, Mr. Lang, please find the money persons. We can some upgrade. Yeah, let's go find them. Tell me what to do, money person. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Zhivago Lang, your host. We'll be back.
Take a stand, take a stand. Come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm.
Do you have uncontrollable debt? Are you ready to make that move to Fidelity for a stress-free future? These loans have a built-in savings plan that pays you unbeatable interest. Ask about our debt consolidation loans today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
We go into this, we go into this. Go and get them pancakes, waffles, omelets, crepes, breakfast sandwich, love the taste. Try our French toast, stuff your face. Come to Nez Pancake Place. We go into Nez. Yes, we go into Nez. Woo! Go and eat that chicken and fries, pork and rice, juicy burgers, taste so nice. Rock, comb, chicken wings. Come and try all we things.
Nez Pancake Place, located behind Sunshine Laundromat on Settlers Way. Call 351-5456 to place your order today.
When my brother-in-law died, he left my sister with all kind of bills and no life insurance. I realized me and my husband need to We went to Star General and got a final expense plan. Sign up from age 50 to 85 and get up to $30,000 to cover your final expenses. No medical exam and the premium never goes up. No matter what life has planned, we'll have the final expense plan from Star General, agents of New Providence Life Insurance Company.
You try to rest, but roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there'll be no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers. For window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Welcome back, Chicago Line, your host. I'm so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, please feel free to do so on 323-6232 or 325-4316 from the Family Islands, 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. We have callers on the line. Go ahead, caller, we're listening to you.
Good afternoon, Minister. Can you hear me?
Hi, how you doing, sir? I can hear you.
Everything cool, thank God for life. Minister, I don't know about you, but I know anything is possible in life, right? But I didn't thought, like, a sitting prime, or how do you say it, outgoing prime minister in a general election for a major political party would lose his seat or lose his seat. I mean, and I use Mr. Barry Christie as an example. I know people was complaining and saying things, but I didn't expect that. I said I'd say, do you see in our lifetime that maybe we would make one of these two major political parties a turd? I don't know if the word is a turd party or make them, like, not even bring in a new group of politicians to make them an official opposition when we decide who we want. The first question I wanted to know if the parliamentary office, where the commissioners be, I hear someone say he either resign or they change him or move him or something. That ain't the point. The point is that this thing, what they call the Boundaries Commission, where I think they give a reason, they say why they do that, is something to do with where more people live in an area or move in the area, and they can either spread it out more for a better result in the general election. But then some people were saying that they believe the politicians has used it to try to win a seat where more FNMs or PLP is. But I even if I used to think that, I don't think that. I don't know if you would agree that it doesn't matter how they cut up the boundaries or do up the boundaries. If the people want you, they're going to vote for you. If they're upset with you, they're going to get rid of you. It's a small place, like you say, and they get family and friends, and they talk and say how they feel about situations. I'll hang up and listen. Thanks.
Okay, thanks for calling, Papa. Can one of the major political parties end up being a third party? Do I see that in our lifetime? I see that as a possibility in our lifetime. As a probability, I would put the probability at 25%, 30% at most, which is a lot, actually. But I could only see ending up as a third party in my lifetime by way of coalition, right? I can only see that happening with another party, almost as if we went back to 1967. That's the only way I see that, because in my lifetime, a third party will get, I believe a third party will get a candidate in the House of Assembly in my lifetime. I believe that. You remember I said that on the show, that a third party in the Bahamas is going to get a candidate or two or so elected to the House of Assembly. And I think that under those conditions, forming a coalition with one of the major parties could make one of the other major parties a third party in the Bahamas. I believe that that is possible. And I believe that that possibility goes to the 35% probability in my estimation range. So that's what I believe. The boundaries, so I'm going to give you the academic version of the Boundaries Commission, and then I'm going to give you the political version of the Boundaries Commission. The academic commission version of the within an election cycle, which for the Bahamas is 5 years, it is conceivable that you can have population changes. So a population could become bigger in some areas versus others, or it could become smaller in some areas compared to others. You can have it by way of growth, or you can have it by way of shifts, or you can have a growth because of a shift. So for instance, for whatever reason, maybe there's economic opportunity and so forth, you could have thousands and thousands of people move from one constituency or one now bounded constituency to another. And so you could end up with 10, 12, 15,000 people in one area where voters in one area where before you that area only had 3, 4, 5,000 people. So because of population shifts, the academic version of the Boundaries Commission is that you should review the boundaries, because ultimately what you are trying to achieve with boundaries is equity. Equity of distribution, or equality of distribution, I should say. Equality of distribution. So you want to have roughly around the same number of persons represented by a representative. That's good. That's equal. And generally speaking, you want a mix that represents the people. Constituencies that have a mix of upper income, lower income, middle income, educated. So you try to get a mix as best you can. And that's the academic version, so that each constituency looks like the society. Or now in the family islands, that might be a more difficult thing, because you tend to have in these family islands, because they're small, their numbers are small, you tend to have a more monolithic group of people, even though you can still have upper, lower, and middle income peoples in those areas. And so generally speaking, you try to get maybe 5,000, 6,000 people in each constituency. That's the job of the Boundaries Commission, is to look at things that way. Now, you put judges and people on this commission because you think that there's honesty there and et cetera. But y'all want the... So let me give you the political version of it. Political version of it is politicians know that it is conceivable that how you cut the boundaries could make a difference, and it can make a difference. But if there is a huge swing away from the government, you could cut that boundary up all you want. You can get beat. That's the bottom line. We have another caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Sylvain.
Yes, uh-huh.
Yeah, I just want to comment on the caller who made the statement that a politician was nominated or some constituency. He said that he heard that Mr. Howard Grant asked the doctor slash the chairman that he heard that the former prime minister wasn't being nominated for the next election. But to be honest, that's what I heard. I heard Howard Grant asked, he said before the break, he said after the break, I would ask you whether the former prime minister, the doctor, would be nominated. He didn't say he's not going to be nominated. He asked the chairman if he was going to nominate him. Then the chairman told him that,
he didn't hear that conversation right altogether.
No, he didn't hear it right altogether. I mean, I didn't hear it right, but I most believe Grant asked the doctor whether they was going to nominate the former prime minister in the next general election.
Man. Thanks a lot. All right. This text says, if I remember correctly, the third party was 1977, PLP, FNM, BDP, BDP, and FNM became FNM. No man. You're on a different trip. No. You go back to read the history of the Bahamas, 1967, when Surrender Fox and them gave the government of the Bahamas to the PLP by virtue of a coalition between himself and what's his name? Who became the speaker at the time too. So no, you mix up. We have another call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hi, good afternoon, Mr. Lang.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well, and how are you?
That's right, Speaker Alvin Brennan. I'm good. Thank you for calling. How can I help?
Good. First time calling your show, but I'm a regular listener for years.
Thank you. We appreciate
congratulations
it.
Congratulations to the model for your anniversary.
Thank you, ma'am.
You have contributed to the analytical minds, the great analytical minds of Bahamians, and we do appreciate that. On one of your show, you did mention how we as citizens are able to go about assessing candidates as they come through during election time, election period, in order for us to get an assessment of if we want to vote for them within a particular party.
Yes.
And I thought that was very helpful. I never forgot that. My question would be, maybe you might have to expound on it tomorrow or another day. How can we do that, not only for candidates, but how can we do that in terms of the leader of the prospective leader, who would be the prime minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas? We could do that, I guess, kind of easily for the candidates, but what about for the prospective leader?
Wait for your comments, Mr. Long.
Thank you.
Very good question. I appreciate that. Very good question. Thank you. We're going to take a break, our final break, and then when we come back from the break, I'm going to speak to that. But that's something we can take up to in a fuller way. But when we come back, I'll speak to it. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Chicago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this final break.
Marsh the car. The lady run into me, Marsh the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
Are you ready to elevate your day with a burst of flavor? Look no further than Dunkin'. your ultimate destination for everything delicious. From our freshly brewed coffee that is sure to pick you up, to our signature frozen beverages that will cool you down. And don't forget our mouth-watering sandwiches, made to order all day. Dunkin' has it all. And of course, our lineup of fresh donuts, muffins, and more. Dive into a world of yummy flavors at Dunkin' and bring joy to your day. The Bahamas runs on Dunkin'.
For over half a century, we've been more than just an airline. We've been a bridge, connecting families, dreams, and memories across the islands and beyond. Behind every seat sold and every journey planned, there's a dedicated team committed to making air travel affordable and accessible to everyone. At Bahamas Air, we're not just building connections, we're building a safe and dependable airline where quality service is paramount and an excellent travel experience is our priority. Wherever you're going, with heart and with the promise of unforgettable journeys, we are family. And just like family, we're committed to taking care of our own. Your Bahamas Air is our Bahamas Air. Because here at Bahamas Air, we don't just fly here, we live here.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shabab Olang, your host. I'm so glad you could join us for these remaining moments of the show. I trust that you are finding the discussion full, useful. So the last caller asked, how can you assess the leader of the party just as you assess the leader? Can I tell you that the two are not altogether different? In an election, the leader of the party is going to be, is essentially making judgments that show up in your face at election time. The leader of the party is making a judgment about who the candidates are. The leader of the party is making judgments about policy matters to embrace as reflected in our plan or manifesto or whatever else it is. The leader of the party is going to be the most talkative person, generally speaking, during a campaign. At rallies, the chief and principal speaker at the end of the campaign, the most time reserved for them and the biggest spot, primary spot reserved for them, so you're going to have a chance to listen to them. The leader of the party is going to be interacting with the media and you'll get an opportunity to see that interaction. The leader of the party is going to be responding to, reacting to things that's happening during the course of the campaign, whether they are in the office or not in office. So there are many occasions to assess the party leader on what? You are going to be able to assess the party leader on his or entry. Why? They have to tell you it. And if they don't tell you what they don't tell you it, you don't have no further judgment to make. A leader without a vision is no leader at all. Right? So you're going to hear that. You'll be able to listen for that. You'll be able to read for that. And so you can know that the leader of the party then has to have a strategy for pursuing that vision, a set of priorities, goals, and objectives that they put. Apply to that vision, you're going to be able to know whether they do or don't have one. If they don't put one forward to you, there is not one. That's a judgment to be made on their leadership. The leader of the party is going to be selecting a team to help them pursue the vision. They are called candidates. If you like what the leader of the party has put forward, you have to ask yourself whether or not and so don't just look at the candidate in your constituency, look at the candidates in all constituencies. You've got to get to know and see what's happening and get to see and sense the judgment of the leader ability to be able to govern, not just in terms of cabinet ministers, but also in terms of parliamentarians. Who do they select? What kind of people do they select? And what do those people say about the leader's judgment about people that they require to help move something forward? You're going to be able to make assessments as the leader answers questions about the leader's communication ability, as they make speeches about their communication ability, as they respond to issues about their critical thinking. You're going to be able to make judgments about their ability to interact with other people. You're going to find, you'll be able to say something about their interpersonal and intrapersonal skills. So really, if your framing is right, if you have the right frame, and on another show, we're gonna give you that frame, you will be able to look on this person and say, yeah, their party and their convention may have chosen them, but I don't know. Their party, their convention did well in choosing them. And you will be able to say why. Now, for lots of people, I promise you, for lots of people, they don't care. You are our man. You do something for me. You did something for my children. You're our man. The chief selected you. Blah, blah. So for lots of people, that's not going to be up. But I'm answering the question you put to me as a voter. That's all I'm saying. But you will have many opportunities. And guess what? To the extent that you want a leader, you got to express that want through the vote for his or her candidate. To the extent you don't want a leader, you have to express that not wanting through your not voting for his or her candidate. So every candidate gets to be, in a way, a referendum on the leader. Or can very well be a referendum on the leader. Sometimes good candidates lose because people ain't want a leader. Sometimes win because people want a leader. That's how the cookie crumbles sometimes. But you'll have lots of opportunities to judge a leader's. Because they are interviewing for the position. Like, so Mr. Pintad is interviewing right now for the position of prime minister. Lincoln Bain is interviewing right now for the position of leadership, for the position of prime minister. Mr. Davis is interviewing right now for the continuing job of prime minister. They are all on an interview with you. Ask them questions. Observe their answers. Look at their body language. Discern their strategic mindset, assess their vision, examine their problem-solving skills, look at the level of confidence they have, look at their sturdiness. It's one thing to like people, and most leaders should be likable to some degree, and they should be likable. But listen, liking people ain't always the thing that gets it done for you. You know how many people didn't like Kobe Bryant? Lord, he could deliver a championship. See, commentaries on both local and international events. Whatever they are commenting on. Say, blind can lead, the problem is where they and their followers end up. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I hope you have a great evening. God's best life. We'll be back tomorrow. Well.